Hello, Mike Kako. My name is Ryan Konakole, Chairman of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. Today is July 10th, 2026. This is a meeting of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. It is now 9:02 a.m. I'm going to go through a few public meeting protocols before we begin. We're holding this meeting as a hybrid meeting. Some of us are in person in the Kalani Moku Boardroom in Honolulu. We're also holding this meeting remotely through Zoom. In addition, it can be watched on YouTube. For those testifying on Zoom, we'll ask you to move you from the waiting room into the meeting when the board hears the item you signed up to testify on. Please remember to mute YouTube when you enter the Zoom meeting, or we will get an echo. When you enter the Zoom room, please keep your camera off and microphone muted until you're called on for your testimony. The chat box is not to be used for any comments. However, the board secretary may message you through the chat box to ask which item you wish to testify on, so you can be let into the meeting at the appropriate time. Presentation by staff and comments by applicants are limited to 5 minutes each. We ask members of the public testifying on agenda items to limit their testimony to no more than 2 minutes. Testifiers will not be allowed to relinquish their time to other people. I ask that if you submitted your testimony through email, that you stand on your testimony as the board members have reviewed the testimony submitted. Please address your comments to the board and not to those presenting. Board Member Smith is our timer. He'll keep track of time and give you a 30-second warning. At 2 minutes, I'll ask you to stop testifying. I'll then move on to the next testifier. Before starting your testimony, please clearly state your name and identify yourself for the record, and we may take breaks as needed. Regarding contested cases, in some of the matters before the board, a person may wish to request a contested case hearing. If such a request is made before the board's decision, then the board will consider the request first before considering the merits of the item before it. A person who wants a contested case may also wait until the board decides the issue, then request a contested case after the decision, but before the close of the board meeting. Any request must also be made in writing within 10 calendar days. If no request for contested case is made, the board will make a decision and the department will treat that decision as final and proceed accordingly. Regarding executive sessions, the board may go into executive session pursuant to Section 92-5A4, Hawaii Revised Statutes, in order to consult with its attorney on questions and issues pertaining to the board's powers, duties, privileges, immunities, and liabilities. Let's introduce the board's members, starting to my far left.
Aloha, James Carpio, Maui Hili.
Aloha and good morning, Denise Matsubara, Oahu member.
Good morning, Karen Ono, Kauai member.
Aloha Kakaiaka, Ryan Kanakaole, Chair.
Morning, Riley Smith, Hawaii Island Board Member.
Good morning, Calvin Young, at large.
And online?
Hello, my kakou, Kaivi, at large.
Aloha Kaivi.
Who's in the room with you, Kaivi?
Oh, yeah, no one in the room.
No one is in the room with me.
Also present is Board Secretary Tasha Kakuta and Deputy Attorney General Danica Patel. Today, we're going to go through the agenda from the top, unless there is a need to go out of order. And we'll do that only if the division staff is ready. So, from the top, I'm going to start with item A1, approval of the June 26, 2026 meeting minutes. Any questions or comments from the board on this item? Hearing none, I'll take public testimony on the minutes. Anyone in the room? None in the room. Online? Not online. Closing public testimony and calling for a motion.
Motion to approve is circulated.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, calling for a roll call vote.
Member Garfield?
Aye.
Member Isari Matsubara?
Aye.
Member Ono?
Aye.
Chair Kanaka?
Aye.
Member Smith?
Aye.
Member Young?
Aye.
And online member Yun?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving into Land Division's items. Item D1. Good morning.
Good morning, Board. Lauren Yasaka, Acting Assistant Administrator for the Land Division. Okay, B1, consented sublease to Waikiki from Waikiki Community Center to Waikiki Community Preschool. So the preschool's been there forever. They were actually a private preschool, but now they are a charter preschool. So yay. So yeah, we just need to it's a little bit odd. So like their term is 30 years and the sublease though is only for 11 months, but that's because of how their grant is given to run. So it just runs in these short increments because that's when the funding is available. Yeah. So that's it for this one. Unless you folks have any questions, Barry's here.
Is applicant here?
I think she's online.
Oh, okay. Is applicant online? Question for this?
Yes.
Good morning. Applicant for item D1, are you online?
Yes.
Yes, I'm here.
Morning.
Morning. I actually don't have any specific testimony. By the way, I'm Caroline Hayashi. I'm president of Waikiki Community Center, and I'm just on in case the board members have any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for either staff or applicant?
I just have a question for Lauren. So, Lauren, the sublease is 11 months. So that means every year you'll be coming back
Yeah.
before us. And that's just because of the way the
Yeah, just
funding
the way
is.
the funding is given to them. Yeah.
Thank you.
Chair, just a housekeeping question.
Yes.
So I know this is just a practical question. It doesn't specify the nonprofit status anywhere, but I'm assuming WCC is a nonprofit and you check that out.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, member. But
It
Waikiki
referenced.
Community Center, it is a nonprofit, 501c3,
Okay.
but we just overlooked including the status
Yeah, I just wanted
information.
to cut. I didn't see it in the write-up, and
Yeah,
I see
we will
the
just correct the record.
inference that, it's WCC and other nonprofits, but I just didn't see it in the sublease.
You
Thank
should
you.
have put that down.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Any other questions from the board?
I'm just wondering, since the way their funding is set up and they have to come back every 11 months, is there a way that the board could approve this for a longer term and delegate future extensions to the chair?
Oh, if I may.
Maybe it's a legal question. I'm not sure what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a Danica question.
You would have to move to change the agenda title. And I have to look up what that requires right now. So you could do that, or when they come back next year, have them ask
Included
for a
in the
delegation
item.
of authority.
Okay, got
Yeah.
it.
Okay.
Got
Okay. Yeah, let's do that next year.
it. Thank you.
We all had questions on this 11 month
I
thing.
know. I figured you guys were going to ask me about it. I asked.
I just want to clarify that usually it'll be 12 months. Not that that's a big difference, but the reason it's 11 months is because this past school year was our first year of operations. And so anyway, I don't want to get into this super complicated, but we are trying to get it on the state fiscal year.
Okay.
We started late because we didn't open as a charter until August. And then it was 12 months. So now we're trying to get it on the state fiscal year and the end date. But in the future, it'll be in 12-month increments. But yes, if we could find a way to kind of streamline the approval process year to year, that would be excellent.
Thank you.
A
Yep.
question for the applicant. So the funding source for the charter, is that dialed in because it's separate from DOE? Is that dialed in annually? Then you don't have a
So
guaranteed stream of funding. Is that what you're saying?
actually, what it is our contract is for 5 years. That was starting, or the school's contract is for 5 years starting in 2025-26 school year. But the reason we're doing it on an annual basis is because the school's budget is still done on an annual basis, and So that's why it accounts for any rate adjustments that need to occur. But if, for instance, the board or the staff would could find a way to have the lease term match the charter contract and then allow for any inflation slash reasonable rate adjustments, that could work as well.
I see. Thank you.
Can I say something?
Of
I
course.
think maybe as AG said, we do it next year. By the time when we come back in 11 months' time, we do a much better exploration or in-depth analysis as to how to do the timing thing to make sure that it streamlined the process rather than coming back on every 12 months kind of deal.
Yeah,
Makes
I
sense.
totally agree. I'm just trying to, for the board's sake, to get an idea of the funding stream, because we all know budgets are not guaranteed, right? And so I just want it to match the lease term so that you
Understood.
have the funding stream
Yeah,
match.
thank you.
Yeah.
We do.
Any other questions from the board? Hearing no further questions, I'm going to open it up to public testimony. Thank you, Land Division. Any public testimony on this item? None. Any online, Tasha? None. Closing public testimony and calling for a motion.
Motion to accept staff's recommendation as submitted for item D1.
So moved. Let me get a second.
I'll second the motion.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes. Item D2.
Item D2 is an ROE for a one-day rough water swim. It's 55th annual. This has been going on since forever. It's pretty standard. It's a normal rite of entry. We've gotten no complaints, and terms and conditions are as normal.
Is there an applicant here? None? No. Okay. Any questions for our staff? No questions. Public testimony? None. Online? None. Okay. Calling for a motion.
Motion to accept staff's recommendation for item D2.
So
Second.
moved and seconded. Any further discussion by board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes. Item D3.
Okay, item D3 is a consent to assign general lease 4909 from Jocelyn Mahelani K. Kava. As a signer to Jocelyn Mahelani K. Kaava and John Kika'a Kahiavalu, long name, Kalauli Kaava the third as joint tenant. So that's her son, basically. So they want to add him on to this. This is part of the Mauna Loha Valley area, which has different statutory requirements. It actually requires them to be, sorry. You have to establish that you are a legal heir or yeah. So we have the birth certificate of the son to establish his relationship, and then they also have to acknowledge the term and conditions of the lease in writing, but that would come after the approval of the board. So everything else is current, rent insurance are current, and everything else is fine with this one. It's mostly housekeeping purposes.
Questions for staff?
I'm just wondering why this area has different rules.
This is
By statute.
by statute.
Yes.
Act
So
20, Act 225, Session Laws of Hawaii, 1981.
what it's a specific statute for these residential lessees or leases,
Leases,
as opposed to the prior homestead leases like
yeah.
back in pre-statehood
There's a
lands
couple
only.
places that have these special. You should be familiar with it. You have to,
Pikala
you call
Keokea
it,
is
yeah,
one.
is
Yeah.
like that. So it's very similar to those.
Okay. And thanks for putting the links for the exhibit so we can see where it's at and everything.
Any other questions for staff? Hearing none, public testimony. Anyone in the room? None. Line none. I'm calling for a motion.
Motion to accept staff's recommendation for item D3.
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes. Item D4.
Okay, so D4 is cancellation of Governor's Executive Order 3863 to Department of Education for the Hanalei Public Library site purposes. And then it's a reset aside to the Hawaii State Public Library system for public library site purposes. There's also a memorandum of agreement between the public library system and DOT. They're going to install, operate, and maintain basically electric vehicle infrastructure for them. So this one is interesting. It was initially under DOE when DOE kind of took over all the schools and libraries. And then subsequently, the libraries were put under the Board of Education, which is, in the world of the legend, operates separately from the department. So it's kind of like it's one and own same thing. So we did reach out to DOE. They are okay with the cancellation and reset aside, but they just wanted to make sure that everyone understood that this is not pursuant to Act 150. This is just because it's exclusively that the library operates on a standalone parcel. We do have that other act that kind of transferred over all of the parcels by law, right, to them. And so they just kind of want to clarify that the library, because this is a parcel with the library only, that it's okay that it goes to the library. Also a little bit odd is that the EO references it as the Hanalei Library, but I believe like in practice it's the Princeville Library. So there's that as well. KIUC may need a separate utility easement, but we'll come back later when they've decided what exactly it is that they need for it. For now, it's just to enter the DOT and library to enter the agreement to go ahead and start installing that infrastructure. And then we did make sure that there is a reverter clause that should, they want to no longer use for library purposes, that'll revert back to the public trust.
Is there anyone from applicant or I see there's DOT online.
Hi.
Maybe.
Yes,
Hi.
Chair and board members, I am Anna Garcia. I'm the land agent for DOT. I'm the one who had requested the application to Hawaii Public Library Systems. I'm so sorry. We have our engineer. She's currently on another meeting at UH, so she's trying to get on. But if you guys have any other questions other than engineering, I'm here to answer if you have any.
Any questions for staff or DOT? None. So Anna, you're off the hook.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, folks.
Open up to public testimony. Anyone in here to testify on the item? None. Online? None. Okay. Closing public testimony and calling for a motion.
Okay, before I call the motion. Okay. So I'm reading this. It's for a 5-year term.
Yeah, that's, I think, Stephen, if I'm correct, that has to do with the DOT agreement, yes?
Yes, it
Yes.
has to do with the federal requirements for DOT and the NEVI. So they require the equipment to be updated every 5 years, so it cannot be like longer than 5 years.
Equipment. Okay, got it. That confirmation. Motion to approve recommendation as submitted.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes. Moving on to item number D4.
Okay, D5 is a cancellation of a revocable permit to Jundia Hashimoto and Jody Hashimoto-Omo as the permittees, and issuance of a new revocable permit to Chantel Zarbal and Jody Hashimoto-Omo for residential purposes in Anini. This one has a very long history. It's a bit messy. It was actually originally a homestead lease, and it went on special sale. They entered into a special sale agreement to purchase the property. They defaulted on the mortgage, and I guess then subsequently the homestead lease was canceled. There was a provision, I believe, in the SSA, which kind of said that if you're in default, they can take the land back. Therefore, since that cancellation, they have been an RP since then. And every time they need to assign, we have to cancel and reissue.
And do they come back every year?
Not every year, only one. Well, I think it comes back as part of the annual RP renewal, but then it also comes back every time it needs to get a new assigned person on there. So we are actively exploring with the AGs on how to fix this and somehow get them on some type of longer terms, as the family has been here for basically
Over 100
forever.
years.
Yeah, long time.
Over 100
Yeah,
years.
I don't know that we can necessarily reinstate the homestead lease, but trying to at least get them back
From the
on.
RP time, I think it was 44 years when
Yeah,
I
it's been
went
a
back to
while
look.
already that
So,
they've been on the RP,
and
but
they have been cleaning the property, so maintaining.
yeah, and they're all current and everything. So they're up to standards for the RP, and we can explore the longer term disposition.
Any questions?
Laura, I just wonder if you give any history of what's a rationale on a 999-year.
They were for, oh, do you,
No,
Annika?
You're asking about the Homestead Act in 1895, right?
That's how long they gave leases for a thousand
Yeah,
years.
for,
a
so I
thousand
have right
years.
now under land division, we have about 40, like 40, 50 active ones, and they're definitely becoming a hot item recently. I've gotten inquiries maybe bi-weekly at this point.
Because it's basically fee simple then, right?
So they're okay. So how it
But you got
works
to stay
is
current on your rent.
you got to stay current on not really your rent, but you got to stay current on like
Real
your
property.
property tax assessment. The thing was, is there's a program in which you can buy the property, or there was, yeah, but a lot of people were defaulting on the mortgage. And so then they changed how like it got assigned the successors. And that's now turned into a whole nother mess that we're trying to figure out how to legislatively untangle. But you gotta untangle the whole thing one time, because everything was done in response to something else. Everything was reactive. So now when we're, what are we, like maybe 50 years? Yeah.
The history of these leases is very interesting. So the Homestead Act in 1895 was during the Republic period. So it was actually drafted by Sanford Dole. And the reason why they had to go to 999-year leases rather than sell fee simple was actually dating back to Kamehameha IV, when there was a our predecessors. They stopped the alienation of crown lands and government lands. And so this was a workaround to get individuals who are already living on the lands to have some kind of interest in the places that they were at.
Okay, well, good info to have. Thank you.
That's just my own research.
I haven't done that
Yeah.
deep of research into this yet.
He went into a deeper research than I
He,
did.
no, these are this is a very interesting history
It
because it's
really
a
is, yeah.
we still have these.
Yeah, we do. We still have these. You'll be seeing, I think, some of them come to you relatively
So
in the
there's
near
more
future.
than just this one then
Well, this
that is
one
on
is interesting because it's
999.
canceled. This is one of the few I know that's canceled and we're still doing this. The other ones, there are successors who now want to get their portion assigned. And it gets messy because of how the assignership or how the successorship is now. Before, it used to just go to the last person living and then their family and the last person living and their family. However, because of that whole mortgage issue, now it's split into parts. So if there's four siblings, they each get a quarter. And if those siblings have kids, then it gets split up. And so now we're in this era where we have like 1/50th interest in one property. And so that's also been kind of the struggle with these.
Any questions for staff?
Wait, so how many of these type of leases did you say
I want to say we have like
exist?
four. I want to say we have like 45, 50.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't. Yeah,
The
there's.
statute is actually still in place where these lessees are able to purchase the property.
Oh, yeah.
Um, they they
Why
would have
wouldn't
to
they?
be pay the fair market value of the land.
And
So
these lands are all urban lands, or they're variously zoned
They're very,
residential.
they're all residential. They're and it's interesting though,
A
like
couple of
where
my
they're
neighbors are on
located.
999-year leases in Palolo. Yeah.
Really? Wow, that's fascinating. I didn't know it existed. Wow.
With this multi-tiered ownership, are they able to get a mortgage if they wanted to build a house? Or
That's what we're trying to figure out how to fix. And we're also trying to figure out how to fix this ability to purchase the lands because we would like to find a way to get, not get rid of, but to like get these homestead lands to being what they're supposed to be rather than trying to untangle this successorship
an over 100
issue.
year workaround.
So we're trying, it's going to take me time. It's going to take me a lot of creativity and possibly legislative action to try and get something that actually works.
Thank you.
I just want to note that a lot of these families are Hawaiian
Yes.
families,
Yeah. Right on.
at least from what I've seen in our review.
Yeah.
Any other questions? If no further questions, opening up to public testimony. Anyone in the room wishing to testify? Anyone online? Oh, Chantal.
Yeah, that's
Oh,
my
sorry about
daughter.
that. Chantal, you're applicant.
Hi, Aloha board. I'm just here to listen in, and if you have any questions, provide what I can to you. But thank you for putting this forward.
No testimony, I'll call for a motion.
I make a motion that we approve the revocable permit as submitted, and in the interim, Lauren is going to be working on possibly some kind of workaround so that there's a longer period of time versus a 1 year. And I want to thank the Omo family for Hashimoto family for actually keeping the property in tip-top shape. They have been there. And this is an only parcel that is surrounded all by gemstone. So just so you guys know that keeping it in this local community is important than bringing Princeville down to the beach.
Thank you.
So.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion about the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes. Item D6.
Okay, this is one of those cleanup items that we have. It's an after the fact consensus sublease under general lease 4333 to the Kaviko Hana LLC as a lessee, and then to Phase 4 Ventures Inc. and Steve Royston as the sublessee. Where's is Candace online? Candace, do you wanna kind of explain this one out?
Will be Candace.
Trying to get there.
Sorry.
This is the sublease.
The sublease one. It's
Okay,
after
yeah.
the
Okay, so Kaviko Hana applied for one of the 40-year extensions. And before we were going to process that, we had to do a site inspection. So agent went out to do a site inspection and found out that there's a sublease on the property that our records were not aware of. I'll put it that way. Steve's Honda has been there for years. And I kind of always thought that that was Kavika Ohana LLC, right? But during the inspection, we found out that Steve's Honda is actually a sublease So we had to go through the process of getting the back documents for the sublease back to 20, I think it's 2022, 2023. Anyway, so we're coming to you to ask for consent back to that time period up to the current. And then the next item on the agenda is for the 40-year extension. So if that's approved, then we have to go through the whole process of doing the sublease thing over again for the new period.
Sorry, this is why I had Candace explain it, because that was a little bit much.
Is phase four and Steve Royston this is that Steve's Royston is, I'm assuming, is Steve's Honda.
Yes.
And phase four
And
is.
he is part of phase four.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I'm not quite sure why the sublease is written that way, but that's the way it's written, so.
Like a personal guarantee. Okay.
Candice, what was the reason for the sublease?
The father of who was the principal of Kaviko Hana, I guess, passed away in 2020, and he had been subleasing it for 3 or 4 years at that time. His health concerns had taken him away from doing his business. And so then he had subleased it to Steve's Honda. And then he passed away, and the kids took over, and they didn't have a clue as far as they didn't know that they were supposed to be coming to the board and getting approvals and that kind of stuff.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Oh, Member Smith?
Candice, you and I had some communications on the wastewater issue on this and what they intend to do, which I think is part of number seven. But you want to just kind of go over why they had portable luas on the property and nothing else before, but now they're intending to put in a compliant IWS system.
Yeah, this I guess this lease, it was originally Hawaiian Fruit Flavors, and they put up a building and it was warehousing only. There are no bathroom facilities on the property. So I guess the county did not at that time require any sort of bathroom facilities, and it's just kind of lived that way ever since. Kaviko Ohana has put portable toilets on the property and then kind of concealed them behind a screen so they're not sticking out real obvious. And that's what everybody's been using. So there are no cesspool issues regarding this property. But Department of Health doesn't think that that's anything more than a temporary solution. So at this point, they're going to have to deal with some sort of individual wastewater system.
And so that is part of D7, right? Part of them.
Correct.
Yeah, so you can get into that later. Thank you. I'm good.
Any other questions for staff?
Well, maybe one other question. So, Candace, because you educated me on a couple things too, can you just briefly explain, even though this is sort of in the Kona'ilehua industrial area and very close to the county's Hilo treatment plant and very close to their sewage pump station, about the lack of sewer infrastructure on Leilani Street?
Yeah, the only hookup, like for the whole Makaala complex, Walmart, Safeway, Target, all of that, there is a sewer line that goes down Makaala across Kona'ilehua and then down into the Kona'ilehua industrial lots out toward Kavili Street, and that's where it hooks up to the sewer system. There is nothing on the airport side of Kanoʻelehua in that whole small area that includes Leilani Street that is hooked up to the county sewer system. There is no line. Meadow Gold Dairies has a private sewer force main that goes down Leilani Street and hooks in. It goes across Kanoʻelehua and hooks into the main system, but that's their private line. And I guess it's a pressurized system, and they will not authorize anyone else to tap into that.
We are working. So Seiji is a blessing in this way, is that this is his background now. So he is working with the county and with Candace for where there are areas in which we can identify backbone sewer infrastructure would be appropriate to install that. And then even though, like, I think we have some people already scheduled to do IIF, they're already constructing their interim wastewater system. At some point, though, we're just going to go ahead, put in the backbone, and then, as those start to fail, then they'll just be able to connect up to the backbone infrastructure. So that is in the works. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it everywhere, but where we can figure out that it's feasible and worth it, we will be trying to do that.
And that's kind of the nature of Hawaii Island. Growth has increased quicker than infrastructure. And so you make do with what you have, you accommodate the transition to modern infrastructure as funding and the market allows you to do that. So there's a reason why it's like this.
Yeah, so there is, well, and also, right, I think, there was not foresight, at least in planning from our division, to do this in a timely manner. But there is a stretch, Candace, do you, I can't remember the shooting, but there's a stretch that we are actually currently actively working on doing design for solar.
Ho'okela.
Sound good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Hearing none. Anyone in the room wishing to testify on this item? None in the room online. None. Closing public testimony and calling for a motion.
I move that we approve item D6 as recommended by staff.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by board? Hearing none. All in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes. Item D7.
Okay, so D7 goes hand in hand with D6. This is going to be a second extension of lease 4333. So that's why it's only 25 years. Original term was 40, one extension of 15 was authorized. And so now, right, for the remaining is going to be 25 years, which is an aggregate term of 80 years, which is allowed pursuant to the special statute for this area. What they're planning on doing for their improvements is installing their septic system and ADA compliant bathrooms. And then they're also going to remove the existing gutter system, repair and replace the damaged fascia, and install gutters and downspouts, waterproofing and painting. So that should be equivalent to what they need to put in for their improvements. I think what we're going to do is, I believe the previous lease extension did not have things like the removal bond, ownership of improvements, the sublease rents, and the lease assignments provisions. So we specifically call those out in here, as well as updating the form to our standard general terms and conditions.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? None. Any public testimony on this item? None. Online? None. Okay. Closing public testimony and calling for a motion.
Move that we approve item D7 as recommended by staff.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, or any further discussion by board? Hearing none. All in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Candace. Item D8.
Last item. This is going to be an issuance of a right of entry to Mr. Gary Goetzman for the installation of BMPs related to the removal of a CMU wall encroachment in Maui. Chair has already seen this, I'm going to say twice. We actually issued an emergency ROE, then we issued an extension. And then after that, because of the length of time that's passed, we could no longer justify it as an emergency because the extended time period. So we decided to have this brought before the board for board action rather.
And then, Mr. Abbott, you're here for the applicant.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any presentation or just here for questions?
No, I'm just here to answer any questions you might have and to thank the Land Division for their help and guidance.
Any questions for staff or applicants representative? Hearing none, I'll move on to public testimony. Anyone wishing to testify? Online. Okay, closing public testimony and calling for a motion.
Chair, motion to accept staff recommendations for DA.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by board? Hearing none. Calling for the vote. All in favor say, this is like moving way too fast for me. All in favor say aye, raise your hand. Okay.
See,
Motion
I'm trying to
passes.
make it easy for you guys.
Thank you very much.
No. But this, you guys gotta stand by. Okay, maybe we have to take a break because I don't see my staff. Okay, we're moving on to is Dobor on the line? Okay. Oh, never mind. Richard and Megan. Item J1.
Okay, good morning, Board Chair. Richard Howard for Dobor. Item J1 is a continuation of revocable permit number 157 issued to Secure Parking LLC at the Alawai Small Boat Harbor. The board received a lot of testimony on this issue, most of it dealing with citations and warnings. And what this submittal actually seeks to address is a gap in the timeline for the disposition. The original permit was ran from January 15th, 2025 through December 31st, 2025. Staff's mistake actually did not continue the submittal January of this year, but we did for the RP renewals when we did that last month. So this submittal seeks to address that period from January 1, 2026 through June 30th, 2026. And so we will not have any gaps in the disposition period. Is Megan on the call?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Megan can address the issues that the testimony talked about. And I'll defer to her to do so.
Thanks, Richard. Aloha, Chair and board members. Thank you for being here and allowing us to kind of give kind of a just a quick background. As Richard said, sorry, Administrator Megan Statz for the Division of Boating and Ocean Recreation. Just like Richard said, although the comments that are being received are outside of what we're asking for, just wanted just to give the board just kind of a reminder. I think there's been a lot of misinformation that is out there. So we came to the board last year for a contract for a license plate reader. We're working to finalize that with the AG's office. We're just kind of little fine details that we're working on. But there's this misinformation of the fact that our parking vendor is going to, continue towing immediately when somebody is in violation. And just as a reminder, so the contract that we did for the LPR has a requirement of two warnings to be issued before a vehicle can be towed. So if somebody is parked two times, they're going to get a warning that says, hey, you need to pay. After those two times, two separate occasions, then a tow will take place. And we're getting all these testimonies that are coming in that says, please issue a citation, please issue a citation. We've talked about this before. If we cite, it's not $25 or $35 like everybody thinks. It's $100 for the first violation. It's 200 for the second violation and 500. And the only one that can cite would be DoCare, and we talked about that itself. So I just wanted to be clear that this is not about towing. This is about covering a gap, like Richard had explained about this particular RP that we're trying to finalize. But I just wanted to address the misinformation that continues to circulate out there that we are moving and continuing to do immediate towing, which is simply not the case. So I just appreciate your time and letting me provide some information. So thank you.
Any questions for staff?
I have questions, Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Megan. What is the rate of towing out there generally? Either per month or per week, whatever you know.
I don't have the towing reports. We don't get towing reports in our in the current contract that we have with the tow vendor. Moving forward, I think in the next, Richard could probably add a little bit more to this, but in the next one, we are trying to have it so that they do provide us with regular monthly tow reports. But that wasn't part of the original contract for the towing.
Yeah, would you say it's like 1 to 5 a month, 5 to 10 a month range?
I think it depends. I think a lot of the tows that we do see are taking place within the closed area at nights, which is between 10:30 and I think it's 4:30 in the morning, where we've got clear signage, and then people just park. We call it the helipad area because it used to be a helipad, but that's usually the location that a lot of the tows come from, or it comes from somebody coming in the facility and just not paying for parking in a paid stall.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment that there's a lot of misinformation about this. And then we've been dealing with this for years now. And I'm just noodling with the thought of, is it necessary that we actually toll? Like in other words, what if we just say we just don't toll? Right? But the fines are going to be so exorbitantly high in the event that we, in replacing of toll, because this misinformation is detracting from what we really need to get done, And again, it's not getting solved. So I'm just putting ideas out there because I'm not sure quite how to deal with this anymore.
Well, I appreciate your comments. The only people that can cite is DoCare, right? We all know that we do not have enough DoCare officers, and they're not, parking attendants. There is no authority for anybody else to issue those citations. And being a former harbor agent out at Alawai and district manager, I understand the concerns about towing. Nobody wants to tow, but let me tell you what happens when you don't tow. Even if you issue a citation and you don't tow it, that vehicle sits there constantly. And that's probably one of the biggest issues that we had prior to us putting a parking plan in place. We had people that just parked there. I mean, and it turned into a homeless encampment. It turned into, just vehicles never moving from the area. And that's not something that we want. I mean, especially for public health and safety. So I do understand your concerns, and that's why we listened. We've been in front of this board, and that's why the two warnings we felt was the fair way about doing it. One, we're not issuing a citation that's going to be $100 or $200, depending on what it is, right? Which is what? Maybe a little cheaper than a tow, but 200 about more than a tow. And so if you're getting two warnings and you're going to continue to do it, I mean, I as much as we don't want to tow, I mean, I think at some point we do have to if people are not going to follow. And these two warnings really, to us, is kind of the balance of what we're going to do. And once we start this program, Ka'iwi, what we're hoping is that misinformation is out the window, right? Those citations, excuse me, those warnings are going to go on the car, say, hey, You didn't pay. You've been parked here for X amount of hours, or you forgot to pay the parking meter, whatever it is. They're going to get those warnings. That's going to be their notification. And people around are going to see that. They're not going to see the immediate toll. And so our hope is that once we start doing that, that will help with that misinformation that's running around. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much, Megan.
Yeah, great question. Thanks, Ki'ibi.
Any other questions? Member
Yeah.
Smith.
Megan, this is Riley. Yeah, I just want to give you some information. You know, our role is policy, not implementation or operations, but in Kailua-Kona, parking is at a premium also. And one of the systems that some of the businesses are incorporating is you have to like go on your smartphone and you have to register. You put in your license plate number, your phone. You say how long you're going to stay. You put in a charge card, and then you pay for an hour. You pay for 2 hours, and then as it gets close to the time expiring, you get like a 30-minute warning. You get a 15-minute warning, and then it gives you the option from your phone to extend the time on your credit card, so you don't have to go back to your car. And the fees are kind of high. I think it was $5 an hour. You know, for outer islands, that's pretty expensive, but at least you could do it remotely. And people were very informed of what the policy is and what the implementation is and what the consequences are. So that system seems to be working, especially for the visitor industry that is trying to patronize restaurants and bars, and to try to manage the employees so they don't take up the limited parking stalls for like 8 to 10 hours. So there is that, you know, in a sleepy town like Kona, to have that kind of smartphone type process. It's clear and I think defensible and easy for people to understand. So it might be something you want to think about or see how it works out. I'm not even sure who the vendor is, but at least it's a system that I think it's clear and organized. So,
Thanks, Riley. Appreciate those comments.
any other questions for board, for the staff? I mean, opening up to public testimony. Anyone in the room wishing to testify? None. How about online? No one online. Okay. Closing public testimony and calling for a motion.
Motion to accept staff's recommendation for item G1.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes. Moving on to item J2.
Okay, item J2 is the mutual cancellation of revocable permit number 159 issued to Access Surf Hawaii and the issuance of a new revocable permit to the same entity. Basically, Access Hawaii approached staff and let us know that they would like additional space to expand the program, which provides access to ocean activities for the disabled community. They're increasing their area from 1,200 square feet to approximately 4,500 square feet. And I will take any questions.
And I see that we have Representative Access Surf here.
Yes, my name is Kara Short, and I'm the Chief Growth Officer for Access Surf. Stumbled on that because I was executive director for a long time. So it's a new role. And I keep forgetting what my title is. And I'm just here to answer any questions and to clarify anything that anyone might have. The space that we have is for our storage. We don't run our program there. We have it at other beaches, but the area around it is continually, there's trash being left and vandalism and what have you. And the space that's being proposed, it isn't used by The parking people's just it's just open. So our thought was if we could put a fence around it, it could help us keep it cleaner. Like we've been keeping up with it, but it's gets to be a little bit a lot for our staff and our volunteers. So when we spoke with the boarding department, we thought, well, perhaps this could be a solution.
Any questions for staff or Access Surf?
I have just a confirmation question for Richard. Okay, so Richard, you sent me the portion that is going to be transferred now to Access Surf, which includes more of the parking lot, correct?
Yeah, that it's not really being used as parking, but it was included in the old revocable permit issued to secure parking. So essentially, the new square feet, the new area for secure parking is slightly smaller, and then the area for access surf has gotten bigger.
Okay, and then the opening for where you do your pickup from the Alawai when the rain comes down and all the trash accumulates in that one area, that is going to be open, right? That's not going to be part of Access Surf.
That is not, no, the trap is still accessible.
That's all I wanted to confirm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Member Smith?
Yeah, Richard, I just had a question. So the luas that are there, that's separate from Access Surf. You guys maintain them and they're still open and operating and all that.
That's correct. It is not part, is not included in this revocable permit. We have an agreement with the Hawaii Prince to actually maintain the restrooms, and they've been doing, I think, a pretty good job.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Any other questions? No. Online, none. Opening up for public testimony. Anyone in the room? Online? None. Closing public testimony and calling for a motion.
So before I make the motion, I just want to commend Access Surf. You guys do really good work for the community. And so whatever we can do through support, we want to do that. Appreciate that very much. Thank you. So motion to accept staff's recommendation for item J2 to authorize the mutual cancellation of RP159 and the issuance of a revocable permit to this organization to expand the area.
So moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved in. Who beat who? Moved and seconded. We'll watch the tape later. Moved and seconded. Any other discussion by board? If not, calling for the vote, all in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Mahalo, board.
Thank you.
Thank you for your
I think
support.
that's it. K1 has been withdrawn. And
Wow.
Wow.
Next time, just ask to
we are
be moved
adjourning
up.
this meeting at 10 o'clock.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Wait, hold baby.
You're the only one in the
Hey,
room.
come back, y'all.
I will. I will.